Y'all see those kids that didn't really want to go out? Melvin wasn't sitting up here with their candy. Where you at, Melvin? Okay. I thought he had backslid. You know, the kids coming by looking for the candy, and here he is off loafing around back there in the back. I tell you what, good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. We sing those songs, you know, and I know my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Boy, I'm telling you, isn't that a privilege that you can say that because Jesus paid the price? You know, all I had to do was believe. You know, I didn't have to die on the cross. I didn't have to do any kind of work. I had to believe, you know, on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, believing that God made the way sufficient, that our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Mine's written in the blood. Amen. And if yours is there, it's written in the blood. And boy, it's just a privilege, I'm telling you. Good number out this morning. I mean, for a wet, nasty Sunday morning, wind blowed some of you in here, I think. You know, probably the wind blowed some in. We used to travel out west, and I did, and those tumbleweeds, you know, how they'd go, and I thought about that with some of you blowing through the door back there. I thought tumbleweeds get rolling around here. Like it's already been mentioned a couple of times, but everybody continue in prayer till we get that group back out of Kentucky. You know, they're traveling. I don't know what kind of weather they got up there, but, you know, I know the God that we've got to protect them. And, you know, sometimes that's all you can do. Just God pray a hedge about them, and we'll pray a hedge about them and get them back here safe after a while. Good number up there. I think 33 or 34. 33 or 34. So, you know, if you added that to this congregation, that's a pretty good crowd here this morning. We counted them. They was up there. They was having their breakfast and then having a devotional and a Sunday school class, I think, before they started home. And I'd expect them to do that. We got news, I guess it was last night from Ginger. And she was talking about how well behaved the children were. And I'm thankful for that. I don't know what y'all think, but, you know, when I met them down here, going to have prayer sending them off, I reminded everybody going that they're part of New Salem Baptist Church, represent us well. You know, I'm just that way. I think you ought to. I want to look at a few verses of Scripture this morning. I want to talk about the great opportunity that God has given us. You know, Jesus went away, and he gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit to strengthen and encourage us, but he also gave us the opportunity that we share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We tell people about the love of God and about his grace and about his plan for each and every one. I mean, you know, God said he wished all would come to the knowledge of the truth and be saved. Now, I don't know that's going to happen, but that's God's will. And so we have to help out and do our part. I think he's given us one of the greatest prayers. Have you ever thought about God trusted you? You ever think about that? God trusted you that we can share this gospel. We can have a testimony. We can be a light to someone, somewhere, at some time. And as we go through this, I just kind of get beside myself sometimes thinking the blessings and the love that God has shown. And not only that, but he trusts us. Boy, that's saying something, isn't it? God trusts us. He trusted us with this opportunity. St. Matthew chapter 5, and I'm going to start in verse 13. This word was written expressly, I mean directly to the Christians. We're going to cover a few verses here, and then we'll go back in the Old Testament. You know, Old Testament was the schoolmaster that brought us into the New Testament and into the age of grace. So we're going to cover a little bit of all of it today, or part of it. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, if you'll turn there with me. Written to the saved of earth, written to the believers. I'm talking about the true Christians. This is who we're talking to. It said, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden down under the foot of men. It starts talking about us, and it's telling us the great opportunity we have. I think about, you know, God chose us that we can be an ambassador, we can be a witness in all things. He gave us this power of the Holy Spirit, that through that we have the ability that we can stand up and tell people about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In verse 14 it said, ye are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Now, if we're going to be this light of the world, you're going to have a little brightness to you, right? I don't believe an old tarnished up something could do it, so we need to do a little polishing, a little shining, and get a brightness shining and reflecting the love of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This city set on a hill cannot be hid. It talks and it tells us that God has trusted us and gave us this opportunity that we can be a light to a lost and dying world. I'm talking about people walking in darkness, no hope. We can shine a light. They can see through us. And so a great opportunity. It said, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Your good works don't glorify you, it glorifies the Almighty God. And I love this part when it talks about He trusts us enough that we can do that. That let our light shine so a lost and dying world might be saved. I've got lost loved ones. I bet you have too. Ain't much doubt. You know, we've all got that. If you don't, you know somebody that is. And by our testimony and our light, I mean, Jesus is going to be at the right hand of the Father. Now, He's still working from home. Don't misunderstand. He hadn't quit. He hadn't retired. He's working from home. But this gift of the Holy Ghost that He left with us gives us the ability now that we can be the salt of the earth. We can be the light set on a hilltop, not be hid. I want to go to Old Testament, Ezekiel chapter 2, just for a few minutes. Now, we're going to talk about the importance of what we do. In Ezekiel chapter 2, and I'm going to start in verse 1. Y'all turn there with me. It's good for everybody to practice turning their Bibles, isn't it? Don't you think it is? Ezekiel chapter 2 and verse 1. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. Now this is Ezekiel, and this is what God was saying to him. In verse 2, and the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him spake, Him that spake unto me. And so in the first two verses, I want you to see God's telling him, and he said, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. Now Ezekiel, and I'm thinking about this in verse 2, you'll see that, and the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me and set me upon my feet. I'm so glad to tell you that Ezekiel didn't stand up on his own power, but he stood up by the power of God. That Spirit that entered into him raised him up and put him on his feet. You know, if it had been the other way around and he just stood up on his own, it might be mistaken, but understand in this verse 2, it said, and the Spirit entered into me and spake unto me and set me upon my feet. So this is the power of God standing Ezekiel up. I want everybody to know that God hadn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if he stood Ezekiel up, he can stand you up by filling you with the Spirit of God. Now, he was going to give a commandment to Ezekiel in verse 3. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that had rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me even unto this very day. And so he's outlining and telling Ezekiel what he wants to do. He said, I'm going to send you down to the house of Israel. He said, it's a rebellious people. He said, they've rebelled against me even until this day. And I thought about the resemblance of what was being spoken that time in the Old Testament with what we have today. We're in a world of rebellious people. I'm telling you, we're in a world that's turned upside down. We're in a world that calls wrong right and right wrong. We're in a world that'd rather believe a lie than the truth. Do y'all see that happening and taking place? You know, that's what it is. I could go out here and tell somebody a lie and they'll just suck it up. But you want to tell them the truth out of the Word of God and they'll shun it. They'll reject it. They'll find some reason it don't apply to them. And when I got to thinking about Ezekiel was getting sent down to Israel, he's sent down to his own people, praise the Lord, because God said, saw the need for somebody to give testimony and witness to the children of Israel. Now, we're talking about God's own people. And so when we see that, a resemblance today, I think God, through the Holy Spirit, could stand us up on our feet, put the words in our mouth, and we might have a testimony to a lost and dying world. I love it that God trusts us. I love it that God powers us. You don't have to do this on your own. You want help in it? Pray. Lord, fill me with the Spirit. Be ready for something to change in your life before you pray it, because you might get it. And the Holy Spirit changes things, just as Jesus changes things. In verse 4, for they are imprudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them. And thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord God. Now, he didn't want to give them. He said, you know, he wasn't telling Ezekiel. Said, you go down there and give them your opinion. He said, you go down there and tell them, thus saith the Lord God. We don't need to use our opinion. We don't need to try to influence somebody for what we think. But we need to tell them the truth and what the Lord God says. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there have been a prophet among them. Now, whether it's going to be successful or not, God's not saying, Ezekiel can't say, but he said they will know that there's been a prophet among them. In other words, somebody has shared the word of God with them. That it'll be a time that when they stand judgment, they won't be able to deny it, Jim. There'll be people lost and dying and going to hell, and they'll stand before Jesus Christ, bow their knee, and they'll say, I remember the time in Sunday school class that I heard about Jesus. I remember that day in church that I heard about Jesus. I remember that day in church when one of my brothers or sister told me about the Lord. And there'll be no denying it. It'll be brought to record. It'll be brought to remembrance. And they'll have to answer. It said, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. So saved or lost, it's all going to happen. In verse 6, it said, and thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither afraid of their words. Now, I want to stop about this. Be not afraid of them. I want you to think about this. You know, a lot of times you think about being afraid of them about something physical. Well, I don't know that being afraid of them is always physical. I think sometimes being afraid of them is afraid you'll hurt their feelings. Afraid you'll make them mad. I'd rather them be mad than in hell for an eternity. There's sometimes you just got to speak the truth and let it lay as God's word, and so be it, right? God told Ezekiel, said, don't be afraid of them. He said, don't have fear of them. He said, they may not believe you. He said, they're rebellious, they're stiff-necked. Sounds like some of my family. Amen? He said in verse 6, it goes farther, it said, and thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among the scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. I'm glad he put that in about their looks. I'm glad he put that in. Y'all ever saw anybody with a sour face, look like they'd eat a sour tart? My mama could do that better than anybody I ever saw in my life. When you displeased her, mister, she could twist her mouth around to this ear, seemed like. And that always meant when you got home, daddy is going to give you a whipping. Well, that's the way it was. You know, she displeased, she didn't do nothing. She just went in and told on you. That's where I've got the idea that sometimes, you know, I just go down and tell God on people. I'm a tattletale. You lay out of church here 3 or 4 times. I'll tell on you. I'll tell the Lord. We ought to all be tattletales telling God. But he's talking about this. He said, don't be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. In verse 7, and thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, or for they are most rebellious. Now, he said whether they believe it or whether they don't, whether they accept it or whether they don't, that's beside the point. The point is that we're to tell them. We're to have the witness. We're to have the testimony. We're to be the light set on the hill. We're to be the salt of the earth. That we've told them. We told them. God don't guarantee they're going to believe it. I'm thankful to God that when he called me to preach, he didn't call me to make anybody believe it. He said, just preach the gospel. I'll handle the rest of it. And that's the way it is with our witness and testimony. You just have to do your part. God will handle his every time. Now, a lot of times we want to disqualify ourselves, but as a child of God, you're qualified. Well, I tell you what I'll do. If you're afraid to tell your family about Jesus, you bring them down here to church, and I'll try my best to tell them. Now you're thinking, you can't get them here. So who's going to do it? You know, it's hard to get them here, right? They don't want to come. Well, now we got a responsibility, and I'm going to leave this responsibility with you. A lot of people say, well, that's pretty harsh. It's God's word. Harsh or not, it's the word of God. Over in chapter 3, Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 18. I'll shorten this down just a little bit. Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 18, just over about one page. Let me start in verse 17. It said, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. And so all he's got to do is just give them the warning from God, not from him. It's not anything he's going to do. In verse 18, when they say unto when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and givest thou him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. Who's responsible for our lost loved ones? Y'all could look up here and say, well, that's the pastor's job. Praise God, it is my job. And praise God, it's your job. There'll be some, I'm sure, at the end of this life that I will be responsible. Their blood will be on me if I fail to tell them. I think of one instant, for sure, young boy, about 17 years old, Johnny Long's boy. Knew Johnny well, knew the boy, was around him quite a bit. Got Lord kind of moved on me, talked to him about the Lord one day, and I got busy and didn't do it. And I thought, well, I'll get back to it. The boy got killed in a car wreck that night. His blood may be on me. God help me. Because I failed to do what God asked me to do. He didn't say, make him believe it. He just said, tell him. Tell him. And that one day time, don't put it off. I mean, I had other days. I've had a lot of days since then. This has been years ago, but he didn't. He died in a wreck that very night. And I thought the next day how I'd failed to do what God asked me to do. And that's a burden I carry. That's a burden I pray about. You know, that's something that still bothers me to this day and probably will bother me until I'm out of this life. In verse 19, it gives us the easy out. He said, yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Praise the Lord. I'm talking about we don't have to be responsible. If we've told them, if we deliver to them what God said, not what we want them to hear, not what we think, but what God said, it said then if they die lost, we're free. It's not on us. This goes to everybody we're in contact with. You know them well enough to call their first name. You know them well enough to tell them about Jesus. And the whole crew. And what we've got to talk about. Oh, praise the Lord. I mean, God just blessed us with a wealth of information about his love and his glory and his grace. We've got so many things we can talk to people about. A lot of people say, well, it's hard to talk about Jesus. Start out with something else and ease them into Jesus. It'll be all right. Just tell them about the power and the grace of God. That's what we need to do. In Matthew chapter 6. Now let's talk about warning somebody. We all want to see our children and our family get ahead. I always wanted that. I'm sure y'all do too. But there's things more important than earthly treasures. There's something better you can tell them about. There's something that'll last forever. And you can tell them about. Earthly stuff will be gone one day. It'll be over and finished. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, that would be a good way to start witnessing to somebody, tell them about what God wants them to lay up, tell them about what'll be eternal. What'll be eternal. Treasures in this life won't make it. It's not going to amount to anything. But these that you lay up in heaven, they'll be there when you get there. They'll be reserved for you. They'll be set aside. Probably have your name on it. You know, and so that'd be a good way. And it talks about 22, verse 22, the light of the body is eye. Therefore, if the eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. But if the eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is the darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, you want something to witness about to your children, to your friends, to your family, tell them they've got to make a choice. That'd be the first thing. Just walk up and say them, Brother Jim, I love you. You've got to make a choice. Now, I'm just using him as illustration. I believe he made his. But you need to tell them. Be real with them. Say, you know, you need to make a choice. You can't have it both ways. There's no fence riding in salvation. Amen. You're either on one side or the other. Nobody's going to ride the fence. Nobody's going to wait and say, well, I'm going to wait until the Lord comes back and then jump on his side. Won't work. There has to be choices. And that'd be a good testimony for people to tell their loved ones, said, you know, you can't serve God and mammon. You got to make a choice. Who are you going to serve? Who are you going to worship? It goes through a whole list of things down through here. It talks about raiment. It talks about food. It talks about hair. It talks about a lot of things. But right down at the bottom of all that, in verse 33, it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You got family that struggles financially? You know, I'm just serious. You got family that's overloaded herself with credit? I'll just tell it like it usually comes out, because they wanted more than they needed. I don't know who I'm talking to, but God sent this message. I guarantee you somebody in this house got that situation, because God knows everybody's mind and heart here. Well, it gives a listing of all these things that God will add. He said, if you put him first. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now, if we're going to witness and talk to somebody, and I talk to a lot of people all the time in financial trouble. You know, I had a young couple one time call me, wanted to give them some financial advice. I'm not a financial advisor. I'm a preacher. But I can give you common sense. When I pulled up to their house, there's a $60-something thousand truck and a $40-something thousand car sitting in the driveway. Young people, that ain't hard to advise. You go in and say, that's ignorance. Of course, you don't get to stay long. You know, they'll get you out of there pretty quick. But guess what? Their blood's not on me. And I'm not knocking anybody about having a new truck or a new car. If you can afford it, get you two of them. Praise the Lord. You know, I'll just rejoice with it. I might even get to ride in one of them. But this young couple, you know, they work in jobs just getting by. And oh, by the way, she's pregnant. So there comes something else, you know. Hadn't planned for that either. But they said, well, we don't know what's going wrong. I said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things can be added unto you. And I'll just be plain about it. I talked about them, to them about another situation. They just tell me how broke they was and how much trouble they got. You know, young couple. I said, well, what about your tithes? Oh, we can't afford to pay tithes. I said, you can't not afford to pay tithes. I said, if you think you're going to rob God of what He asked you to do, and you think you're going to rob God, don't look for blessings from Him. Get on the other list. Now, that's too plain for a lot of people. That's the way I see it. You have what you've got because God blessed you with it. I don't see anybody here smart enough or able-bodied enough to succeed in life because it's out to get you down. And without God's shield and God's protection, the devil would have kept you too sick to work or too hurt to work or too sorry to work. Amen? So it's God's help that helped you to get you. A lot of people thinking, I work for what I got. Yeah, and God gave you the ability to do it. I feel really impressed right now that I don't know people's hearts and minds, but I'm impressed right now to think that somebody's carrying a burden that they don't need to leave this church with. I just feel there's a burden on somebody's heart that you need to leave here at this altar. Let God handle it. Just turn it over to God. Say, Lord, I can't do this. I can't handle it. And I feel like it's in this church today that somebody needs to say, okay, I'm not going to take it with me. If you will, if you allow it, it'll probably ride out these doors and go home with you. Praise God, it'll spend a night. It'll stay a month. But there comes a time you get rid of it. If that's you, we're going to have a song. And if that's you, bring it up here and just lay it down. Bring it here and just let it go. Let's have a verse of song. Chris, Glenda, everybody stand. If it's you, don't hesitate. There might be somebody else waiting on you to make the first move. I know how that works sometimes. If it's your turn, if you've got something you don't want to leave with, bring it up here and leave it. Bring it up here and lay it down. I believe God's speaking to somebody. I'd love to pray with somebody. God may be waiting on you. He's patient. Better be thankful He's patient. May be waiting on you. If it's your turn, come on. I'm going to walk out the door in a few minutes.